Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There are many large companies in St. Louis that try to acquire talent from all over the world, and by doing so, they bring them to St. Louis to show them what the region has to offer. And there's a company called St. Louis Transplants that will help facilitate that. They'll show the potential new hires the highlights of the city, answer the questions they may have. And joining us in the studio today is the owner of St. Louis Transplants. Anthony Bartlett joins us on this special edition of Profiles on KMOX. I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
It's been a couple of months, but we had you in, I think over the summer, or maybe even earlier than that, and you're part of St. Louis Transplants. And why don't you describe to the audience what you do here in St. Louis?
What St. Louis Transplants does is we work for corporations and hospitals in the essentially for their talent acquisition departments and their home office recruiting. And what we do is we help them attract new candidates to St. Louis. So these are people who are interviewing, who are considering taking a position in the city.
Yeah.
And we essentially help convince them to come across the line. We work in another capacity where we have new hires or people who are newly arrived, and we help the employer address turnover or anybody who might be a flight risk.
Okay.
And essentially help them integrate into the city of St. Louis.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Are there a lot of the big companies in the area, do a lot of them have integration departments, or do a lot of them have talent acquisition departments?
So almost all of them will have talent acquisition or home office recruiters, right? That's a seldom. I guess it's part of HR, but they will always have some kind of internal department, depending on how big they are, that are solely focused on bringing in outside talent or even recruiting local talent.
Do you ever cross paths with Mr. Gary? Do you know who that is?
I don't.
Oh, you know Mr. Gary. he says he's the king of hospitality. He does a lot, I think, with the Convention Bureau. Sometimes he travels with them.
So there are a lot of civic organizations that do things. There's a lot of chambers.
Yeah.
So there's sort of that side of it. You've also got a lot of, you'll have realtors who do this work. You'll have recruiters. So these are headhunters, for lack of a better term, and then you'll have kind of moving logistics people or third-party relocation people.
Right, I see.
And then and there's sort of this other side, which I would term non-real estate relocation, which is the social side of somebody's transition.
Huh.
And that's something that traditionally has not always gotten a lot of attention. So that's the culture, the community, and you know what is a day in the life really look like moving to a city like ours?
I see, yeah.
And so that's kind of where this niche industry, if you will, has come in.
And you've continued to grow. Every time I talk to you, you're so busy because there's a lot of companies that are looking to bring in major talent to the area.
Yep.
They acquire you to help them.
Yep.
And last time we spoke, we were talking about the advantages that an Amazon would have if they moved to St. Louis. Amazon, when it came to their second headquarters, decided not to pick St. Louis.
Yeah.
So when they narrowed down the scope,
right.
And even then they came out and said, was it Long Island or was it New York and Virginia or something, or Brooklyn or wherever?
Yeah.
Why? I want to talk to you about Amazon. I want to talk to you what's changed in St. Louis since then. There's been a couple of big things that, at least as of recently, have happened, including the potential for a Major League Soccer and what that means for an area like St. Louis when it comes to recruiting talent. Maybe we can talk about the XFL. I don't know if that plays into people's decision-making, if that's something that, when they look at St. Louis, that's a positive or if it's a zero impact. We can look at some of the other issues that St. Louis continues to have when it comes to crime, because when you Google search something, that seems to be the first thing that pops up and how you combat something like that.
Right.
And we got a lot to talk to this hour. Do you want to, we could open up the phone lines if people want to ask you questions. Do you want to do that too?
I'm open to anything.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, we could do that. I don't know if there'll be anyone that wants to call in to do this, but if there's anything you hear and you have a follow-up question, we'll keep the phone lines open at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So when the news broke where they narrowed down the cities that Amazon was considering for the second headquarters, St. Louis wasn't on that list. What was your first impression about that?
Well, once I sort of understood what the strategy was for Amazon, which was pretty brilliant. Somebody wrote an article, I think it was the New York Post or recently, that they basically, being an infrastructure company and a logistics company, and you look at what all those proposals, getting 225 proposals of those of that kind, how all the cities sort of pulled all the resources together. And the kind of information that a logistics or an infrastructure company that Amazon would now be privy to was really quite ingenious.
Yeah.
The other piece that maybe they knew all along, that they were going to be going to Northern Virginia or New York, that pretty soon they're going to be facing some regulation, or maybe someone's going to try to break them up, and they won't try to break up the local company. It was sort of a pretty brilliant strategy. Having said all that, I still think that what the proposal did was really show, you know, really one is it pulled a lot of the moving pieces that St. Louis has together. So you had a lot of people working together that historically really hadn't worked together before. Mm-hmm. You had, you know, kind of the top 20 employers. You had the city. You had the county. You had all of the universities. You had so many different civic and political pieces coming together in the same place to really showcase what we have to offer. So what I found so interesting about that whole process was that proposal, whether even if it's not for Amazon, is really going to be amazing for so many other people or any other company that thinks of coming to St. Louis.
So almost if you were to look at what they were going to offer in Amazon, that almost could be used as scrap to put together a proposal for another major company.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be what it was offered to Amazon and tax credits or this, that, and the other. It was more, what does this region offer to anyone who's thinking of coming here?
It's a good thought exercise.
I mean, I know WashU students or grad students or corporations, any institution really who's looking at putting a few thousand lives in the city.
Yeah.
A lot of the information that they're looking at is now coming from that proposal, which you can get online and you can read about. And there were eight different categories of the proposal. So if you want to read about culture and community, you can read that. If you want to read about real estate opportunities, you can look at that. And all of the things that St. Louis has to offer from a logistics standpoint, it's really, it's really remarkable. I think St. Louis is on the cusp of something very special, for sure.
If I was an employee, this is how my thinking would go. Yeah, it's kind of fun to be in the New York area. Yeah, it's kind of fun to be in Virginia. But you're going to have to make $150 a year to be able to afford housing if you have a large family. If you would have gone to like a St. Louis and made $150, you'd have been kings out here, you know? You'd have been doing great. You'd have been so happy with yourself. Would have been able to fund all your kids' colleges and not have to worry about all of the other auxiliary things. So they're thinking about that. I know there's other major corporations. I would love to see St. Louis, and I've brought this up on the show, try to lure some of these tech companies out of California that are just getting hit with the hard reality of what the taxes are out there.
Right.
And like, go to a Jack Dorsey who's expanding here already and saying, why don't you just do the whole deal? Move everyone back here. Why don't we name this Major League Soccer Stadium after Twitter or something like that? Let's get our Square or whatever.
I think everybody's starting to look at that for the very first time. You sort of have these superstars cities, if you will, and these coastal cities. And you mentioned a business like ours. Even when we first started talking 2 years ago, how our business has increased so much. And you know, one of those reasons is that the whole world is really geared toward moving people from the Springfields of the world to Dallas and Houston and San Francisco, New York. Well, what's happening is, as the coast becomes so saturated, what's here to really help them move to the middle?
Yeah.
And you know, you look at a market like St. Louis that is above the hurricanes and below the ice and has the more water than any city in the world. You know, Denver's out of water, California's out of water. You know, you're looking at as interest rates maybe start to go up a little bit, or even if they stay the same, if you look at something like inflation, you know, St. Louis does really, really well during times of inflation, which I think is in our future. And I think a lot of these companies and even the new generation of talent, if you will, which has really changed for our business, has come in and said, you know, do I need to be in this particular market to do what I want to do? And the answer to that is no, there are other options. And it's just really what they, it's really just an important time for them to start to learn about, there are these other cities that they frankly just don't know much about. We're getting kids from Atlanta, from Denver, from Nashville, from places like Austin. St. Louis is still real. It still has texture and character. It's not a prairie pop-up. Mm-hmm. It's still a place where they go, wow, you know, I can own a house in my 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, San Diego is wonderful, but it's not an option.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And so there's a lot of things that we have on the, we have at our disposal that if once I think people really just start to learn about them, it'll be a game changer. And we've got all this amazing infrastructure. We're just missing the people.
When we come back, Anthony Bartlett will continue our conversation with him, owner of St. Louis Transplants. STLtransplants.com is their website. I want to ask him exactly what happens when a person comes into town, what they do with the person, what kind of things do they talk about, what kind of questions they ask. We continue Profiles next on KMOX.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker, joined with Anthony Bartlett in studio from St. Louis Transplants. What they do is they provide a service to employers across the St. Louis region and helps that candidate learn about the area, helps them adapt to the culture of the area as well, and even answer the questions they have.
Sometimes you even go around, show them a good time around town. Like you have to show them the attractions and things.
Yeah.
Things like the Arch Ground and the renovations there. You see the Soldiers Memorial opening back up. Are those positives? Do you take them to places like that?
You know, we usually take them to places where they don't need our help. Where they would need a guide. Yeah,
okay,
they would need our help to find the arch. I will tell you, the new museum and the new Arch Grounds are absolutely spectacular. Mm-hmm. So.
Whereas previously,
it's something where they can go back on their own. We're kind of more on a hyper local, high touch tour where we're taking them to specific restaurants, we're introducing them to specific people, we're helping them get to know the life and drink the coffee in each neighborhood. You know, really just kind of get a feel and understanding. So some of the bigger attractions like the zoo or the arch, you know, they can find their way without us. But
they don't need you for that. Yeah.
But I will tell you, I do feel a lot more comfortable these days saying, you know, now they can go to the museum and they can really kind of experience all of it and just how, and the feedback that we get from people who go, or certainly when they take new out-of-towners there who come to visit them, they're just loving it.
And you don't need a Sherpa or whatever guide to get you to it because of all the construction that was there before.
Right.
Now you can walk right across. It's so much easier.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah, having it connected is really neat. Because I think a lot of them did think it was something that they could just walk up to for all those years, and then they realized it wasn't.
Yeah, so the spray paint on the concrete wasn't enough. I mean, it was confusing to me when we went down for the first time, still under construction.
Yeah.
Yeah, something else you did, when I first moved into town, you had the article that was in the Post-Dispatch talking about why it's so hard to make friends in St. Louis. It was a great article.
Yeah.
And you also talked about how there's so many great little areas and things to learn and so many different corners and neighborhoods. And you sent me a list of places that you would recommend any new person moving to St. Louis, and you broke it down like if you want frozen yogurt, you go to this place. If you want to get a great steak, you go to this place. And you had a list of places depending on where you're at. Do you still have that list up?
Yeah, so we do have a list like that. All of our lists are customized to the person. So I explain this a lot to the employers. We don't actually have a St. Louis tour, quote unquote.
Yeah.
We don't have a circle that we drive in. It's really, you know, there is no right or wrong place or neighborhood. It's what's right for that person.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's Old Town St. Charles. Sometimes that's Lafayette Square. Sometimes that's Clayton. Sometimes that's Old North. Yeah. You know, it really, really is kind of what it is that they're looking to do. But yes, so we have a database of all of the places and experiences, be it schools, neighborhoods, restaurants, frozen yogurt, mm-hmm. hot dogs, whatever it is, museums that are curated by transplants for transplants. So mm-hmm. this is sort of the newcomer's view.
Yeah,
of
it helped
what,
me.
Of what it is. Yeah. So if you're kind of like, what does the other New Yorker think of XYZ Diner? And those are the kind of things that we passed on to you. You sort of, tell me what you love and what you're looking for, and then we can give it to you.
That was helpful. St. Louis transplants.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It was. And my wife immediately became involved with a lot of the moms groups, and they are hounds for free stuff. So they're always typing in stuff. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do that. This is going on here today. This is discounted. You can get in free here today. Hounds for that thing. So I don't know how many different recommendations from moms groups we were able to get to.
Huge.
So when you're talking to people from the outside, does sports play a factor? St. Louis is a big sports town.
Yeah.
Of course, the Cardinals and the Blues. We don't have the Rams, but we're going to get an XFL team.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we get a Major League Soccer team. Talking about building a stadium, which is a big construction project.
Yep.
But a really cool piece to have in downtown St. Louis. Does that play a factor when it comes to recruitment?
You know, it depends. I mean, certainly the number one thing, obviously it's a baseball town. A lot of people will know that baseball is the religion. I do think that the I'll just be straight away. The thing I have the hardest time finding for anybody are anybody who's an NBA fan. So the NBA fans are probably of any group of people. Even just in the bar. So in the NFL, there are bars where they can watch the games. You know, almost every bar has an NFL team watching party. So if you're a Patriots fan, a Steelers fan, a Green Bay fan, there's a group of transplants that are here or fans that are all watching. Certainly in the football or soccer community, if you will, the international community is a very close-knit community doing great things. So they can go to Amsterdam Tavern, they can go to Tiggin, they can go to Scottish Arms, they can go to see some games, and they'll find their community there. I do see that having a Major League Soccer team, certainly it will be a wonderful thing to have. Will it make or break anything as far as recruiting or talent attraction or retention? I don't know if I could speak to that.
Huh. What about on the company side? Does it make it more appealing for companies thinking about relocating if they have things like amenities like that in town?
I mean, I'll tell you what would be appealing is the stadium will be very cool in that, you know, it'll connect a lot of areas that aren't connected.
Oh, yeah.
So what's kind of interesting about, and even if the XFL comes, do I think people get a ticket and go watch a game? Of course.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, whether or not it'll make or break, whether they decide to move somewhere, I don't think it plays that level of a role still. But I do think it'll be a neat thing. And then once, you know, if you look at kind of the area around Shodo, the Shodo Greenway, you look at Midtown, you look at the Gate District, you look at Downtown West, there are a lot of these kind of cool areas in and around the city that are starting to get a little bit of critical mass and a lot of new development. And then if we had a stadium, I'm just thinking in terms of my tours, if you know, when I've got people in the car and I'm showing them this area, you know, you're going to have the aquarium and then you're going to have
the aquarium, that's
and then you're
going
to have this really cool soccer stadium
right across,
and then it's all going to start to be connected. And that's kind of the thing that an out-of-towner, that really would change an out-of-towner's perspective when they're thinking of making a move, in that, you know, one of the things that they do notice is that St. Louis is very beautiful and it's very manicured, but it's not, it doesn't quite have the electricity and the energy with the amount of pedestrians on the streets.
Okay.
But having so many of these kind of neat places and developments very close together, you're going to have Steve Smith's Foundry, you're going to have a lot of these areas in the city that I think will create a certain kind of energy that will help paint a certain picture, and it will be something that somebody just say on a weekend visit will go, you know what, I'd like to come back here and be a part of it, because it's not quite happened yet. And that's kind of cool in a way,
when they're all wearing the scarves outside the stadium, walking around.
It's kind of neat to sort of be a part of something, to go, I'm here before the bubble, before it takes off.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm kind of here on the ground floor, And that's what I say to people all the time. I say, you know, some people want a city where it's already happened. It's already kind of arrived. It's already at its critical mass. Everybody's, mm-hmm. you know, kind of doing their thing. And then you look at St. Louis, and St. Louis is this beautiful canvas that has so much opportunity that hasn't quite been discovered yet. And so which side do you want to be on?
Yeah. Let me take this quick call before we go to break. Let me go to Dan in St. Louis. Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I enjoy your show very much. I want to let you know that. I drive over the road and I listen to you every night you're off.
Is this how you butter me up? You're about to say something that's negative?
I want to ask him a quick question, and then I want to ask him about the stadium, the new soccer stadium, if I can. You just brought up something about when people come into the town, do they look at St. Louis, besides the crime that we have, as being too laid back and too relaxed, and people take that for granted?
Sorry, do they see it as, do they look at the crime?
Well, can they see beyond crime it? In St. Louis?
Yes.
That's obvious, but I mean, do they look at St. Louis people, the people that, you know, not in trouble and all that stuff, as being too laid back for other people coming into town?
Yeah, so so if they actually land in St. Louis and get here, that's where we can overcome a lot of the crime metrics and concerns that they have. So a lot of people, what happens is when they Google St. Louis or they're seeing a lot of the media, they're seeing a horror show. You know, one article just came out, St. Louis was the least safe city in America. So that prevents them from coming. But once they come, they're actually very confused because, you know, they can see just like anybody else and go, this is a very beautiful, manicured, incredible place. And why would St. Louisans let its image be portrayed so badly? And so differently from the reality on the ground. That's not to say that there isn't crime. Certainly there is. But, you know, these are metrics and articles that are placing St. Louis as you know, among the worst cities in the world for crime. And our last three people, literally from the last week, were one was from Bulgaria, one was from Brazil. And, you know, and they're coming from countries where they're going, you know, I'm coming from a country where there really is real crime, and this is not that. So it's very interesting to sort of watch them experience those things.
Yeah, and then one other question. Just wanted to let him know that I think it's going to be fantastic when we get that new soccer stadium.
Yeah, oh, cool. Very good. Hey, Dan, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate that.
I do too, okay. Dan. I think it'll be nice.
All right. Yeah, I think what you said about bridging some of these areas that didn't have a connection,
right.
That's important. I mean, that is actually one of the biggest advantages of developing that area. I like how they try to frame it in a way. No one's paid taxes since the 60s on this area. But think about what they were able to build around Busch Stadium. And you have the whole ballpark experience.
Right.
And what they can do if there's a stadium there, too. And what that'll mean for all of the other outlying areas. What a great idea for a bridge.
We continue our conversation with Anthony Bartlett, who runs St. Louis Transplants, which provides a service for employers in the area that are looking to acquire talent. He'll help new hires get acclimated with the area. He'll also help employers reel in the top talent into our area. Our conversation with Anthony Bartlett continues next on Profiles KMOX.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I am your host, Ryan Recker, and we continue our conversation with Anthony Bartlett, who runs St. Louis Transplants. He provides a service for employers in the area that are looking to bring in new talent, make it a welcoming place for them, and answer the questions that they may have. And he also helps the new hires moving into the area become acclimated with the St. Louis region.
We know a lot of people listen from all across the United States because of this radio program. Just a couple of weeks ago, I said, I don't think I've had a caller from Oklahoma. And then, you know, 3 minutes later, callers from Oklahoma start calling in.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it's just how things work around here. So there could be people listening right now that only know St. Louis from what's in the news, which is the negative stories that get out there.
Right.
And you mentioned they always do those lists, I think are very deceptive, where they say, you know, St. Louis is on par with like Baghdad or something like that.
Yeah.
When it comes to most dangerous cities in the world. And I think that's a little deceptive. I don't think that really tells the full picture of St. Louis. I think they're starting to do a better job of trying to bring St. Louis to a positive light. Let me play something for you. This is from Explore St. Louis. They just put this video out, and let me play this for you real quick.
Forbes recently wrote that St. Louis is on a roll. We couldn't agree more. As possibility and optimism course through our community, we are at work. Reimagining our region. From the Gateway Arch outward.
You know, so obviously they show all these benchmarks and great places that are around the city. These videos, are they effective? Do you know if people see this sort of thing and it nullifies some of the negative?
I do think that the new national media and a lot of the things coming out are effective. So it's not just the message, it's the messenger. So if somebody's reading something from the New York Times or from Forbes or Esquire magazine, that's very impactful. You know, when the chambers put something out in any city, certainly it's nice and they're kind of neat sizzle reels, and it's not that we shouldn't have them. But as far as something having the political capital to really change a heart and a mind, it's, you know, when you have somebody say, you know, doing a feature on one of the restaurants here. So I think it was Vogue magazine, you know, did a feature on Zoe and her restaurants, or, you know, a
New York
lot
Times
of the new
even
stuff.
Did the renovations to the arch grounds when they were working on them. That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. I think, you know, whether it's VCR or, you know, the James Baird Awards, anything like that. It's interesting for people on the coast and even internationally to see that that we have some of those things. You know, what was it that recently I heard a good one? Drake was in town for his concert, and there's a new bar, a restaurant in the Des Moines area owned by a guy named Matt McGuire called Louie, and Drake went back three times in a row and said it was the best restaurant he's ever eaten at in his entire life.
All right, that's great.
And, you know, and so it's like now I can say, hey, we're going to Louie, Drake's favorite restaurant, and people love that stuff. But certainly what they see in the media, it is something that that even if they understand it and they look at it and they know St. Louis is great, a lot of times those people, if they're being moved or transferred to St. Louis, have to go back and convince somebody else at home to follow them. And then that person has at their fingertips a lot of really negative news media that can hurt. That's another thing. People don't really realize how many amazing celebrities are from St. Louis.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's Danny Meyer, you know, the greatest restaurateur of, well, arguably ever in, you know, New York City. He's from St. Louis. Jack Dorsey, Jim McKelvey, Sterling K. Brown, Ellie Kemper, John Hamm, John Goodman.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And mostly, from what I see, people are all learning that for the very first time when they visit.
Don't forget Andy Cohen here.
And don't forget Andy Cohen, a perfect example.
Just on Twitter.
Hey, this is a message for Bryce Harper. Dude, I know you're can I call you dude? I know you're meeting with the Cardinals this week. Choose us. Amazing franchise. The fans in St. Louis are one of a kind. We are ready for you. Tell your wife, Kayla, if she wants to be a Real Housewife, I'll consider Real Housewives of St. Louis. We are ready to go. We're fired up, dude.
This is such a nice touch from Andy Cohen.
I mean, genius.
Isn't that great? I love that there are people that have a lot of pride when they look back at St. Louis and try to put something positive on there. And let me get to Jerry real quick.
And Real Housewives of St. Louis, too. Brilliant.
Yeah. He has the control, the ability to do that. It'd be a nice courtesy for the city he loves. Let me get to Jerry.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, listen, I wanted to not to be a naysayer. I've lived in St. Louis for the last 50 years. And one thing I wanted to ask you is, does any of your candidates for, you know, relocating to St. Louis, do they get a little nervous about how the racial tension here is in St. Louis and how, you know, a certain race lives on one side of the city, another race lives on the other side of the city? Do they notice that, or do they have any concerns about that?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Jerry, thank you very much for your call. Here, take a listen here. And Jerry brings up a really good point. Do they people notice that?
Yeah, they notice right when they get off the plane, usually.
Yeah.
And I would term that as so we were talking about crime.
Uh-huh.
The segregation is something else, too.
Yeah.
And that's something that's noticed right away. And people think of that in two lights. And one, so they'll have questions for us. You know, 40% of our candidates and new hires are folks of color.
Mm-hmm.
And who are, you know.
What percentage did you say?
40%.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
So it's a lot of the companies are hiring people of all different backgrounds, And certainly those things are questions and concerns. You know, tell me what the improvements have been in the policing. Tell me, are we going to get pulled over? What does this look like? And, you know, and for some of us, I'm being who I am, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people say, look, this isn't just an intellectual exercise for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really making a decision based on the safety and well-being of my family. And these are the things that I need to look at and I need to explore. And so where is St. Louis and is it ready? Because, you know, in this market, you know, I haven't dealt with this kind of tension in 10 years.
You know?
And our answer is not, well, this happens everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do that.
Before you give your answer, let's do that after the break. We have to get to the break. So when someone brings up those concerns, how do you answer that? And you're not working on behalf of the city of St. Louis by any means. You're just on behalf of someone that is an advocate for the people that are moving here. You're really trying to advocate why this would be a good fit for them.
It's an important question. Let's get the answer from Anthony Bartlett coming up next. He runs St. Louis Transplants. He provides a service for employers in the region who are looking to hire high-end talent, attract them to the area, and helps those families, once they do move here, get acclimated. We'll continue one last time next on KMOX Profiles.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker, joined one last time with Anthony Bartlett, who runs St. Louis Transplants. He helps families build roots in the area when they're brought in by an employer, and a lot of times these large employers are looking to help their new hires get acclimated with the area, but sometimes they're faced with a lot of questions and also some tough questions about the region.
You brought up the point that 40%, or roughly speaking, you see transplants or hires from some of these corporations are of a minority, and they ask the question, well, I Google search St. Louis, are the police going to be friendly to me? Are the people going to be friendly to me? What's going to happen to me when I move here? Because I'm, you know, I got kids, I got a wife, they're concerned. So how do you answer those sort of concerns?
And people of any background and any nationality or race are all going to be concerned about crime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 100% of folks are going to say, what's the deal with the crime? And then we also have folks who are going to be concerned about the issue of segregation, to say, are they used to seeing a family like ours who look like us?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we try to do is just really address those things head on and not sweep them under the rug. And I think that St. Louis has a bit of an issue where they're kind of faced with cheerleaders, if you will, who sort of have a very defensive posture about St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
or they are faced with people who have a very negative posture towards St. Louis. And what can we do to just kind of help them have a very frank, very honest conversation mm-hmm. about what they're going to see and experience? You know, one thing that St. Louis really has going for it is that the schools are not segregated places at mm-hmm. all. So there are still some neighborhoods that I think are experiencing that, but that's changing mm-hmm. all the time. It's also a big generational shift. Even the neighborhood I know that you've moved to, and mm-hmm. that other folks, you know, it used to be realtors would say, oh my gosh, you could never move north of Olive and
honestly,
look at Del Mar. And
when we were looking around, I wanted to go into an older neighborhood. I wanted my neighbors to be 80.
Right.
I did.
Yeah.
I like that. The ones that have lived there since they built it in the 50s,
right.
You know, that's the type of neighborhood I like.
And diversity isn't just race. It's age. It's mm-hmm. religion. It's all different kinds of things. And so what really happened when a new generation of talent comes in and says, I want to be going to diversity, not from it. So that was sort of a really big change, where you have people going and going, listen, we're a mixed race couple from Queens. Mm-hmm. We want our kids to experience this kind of neighborhood and this kind of life and this kind of thing. And so that's just changing things just via saturation and just a total generational shift. So that is making a difference. And then I do think it would behoove a lot of the locals to just learn, you know, what is your police department doing? What are things, what's happening in your municipality, and what steps are being taken to where, you know, not only just an out-of-towner or a newcomer, anybody from any background can mm-hmm. just feel safe. And, you know, what's going on and what can we do to change it?
Yeah.
Will make a big difference.
We have a couple more minutes here before we break at the top of the hour. What are some of those emerging neighborhoods you're seeing people where they're moving in the city of St. Louis?
I mean, right now, the one even that's come up recently is going to be downtown West for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the Locust area, so sort of near Pappy's, down from St. Xavier's, kind of near SLU.
Okay.
So that kind of corridor is really starting to emerge. The East Loop, where we are, interestingly, is really starting. So that's on Del Mar, east of Skinker. That's really starting to change and grow quite a bit.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've had a few trolley.
I had to ask you, of course. There's two parts of the trolley. I feel terrible because they've done everything they could, and they're still just the worst luck with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, man, they had to have cut their losses, but they just keep pushing through.
Yeah.
Have you rode the trolley?
I've not ridden it yet. It drives by me every day.
But, you hear the horn? Is the horn loud?
No.
No, there's the people in the neighborhoods over by the Forest Park living on Lindell, and they're saying the horn being blasted at 11 o'clock at night. What's going to happen?
An endeavor they're undertaking there. Yeah.
What's going to happen to the neighborhood just a little bit west of the Grand train station there? And when they build if they do build a Major League Soccer stadium there, is that going to just like revitalize that whole area?
Yeah, it'll be tremendous. And that the problem with St. Louis is that there's so many little islands. You know, they say it's like a quilt, and it's sort of going from one patch to one patch. And what I do when I show somebody around, or we pick them up at the airport and they're really seeing St. Louis for the first time, I mean, I think it's interesting to watch somebody try to understand 40 different municipalities at the exact same time, and they're going, well, I think I understand Brentwood, just kidding, it's U City, and I think I understand U City, just kidding, that's Richmond Heights. Okay, I understand Richmond Heights, just kidding, that's Clayton. So, there is that part of it, but then as they're starting to explore Tower Grove, and they're starting to explore Shaw, and they're starting to explore, whether it's that Gate District area, or we're taking them from Clayton to WashU, to the Central West End, to SLU, to downtown, The interconnectivity of all these things is going to be hugely important.
Yeah.
So if we're going by, in 2 years, we're going to have the Foundry area, we're going to have the stadium area, the Shoto Greenway, we're going to have, even as we go kind of south on Jefferson, look at what we have now. I'm showing them Benton Park. I'm showing them another rising area. I'm showing them Cherokee Street. I'm showing them so many different things that, whereas before it was 10 minutes of nothing between each place, now it's sort of like a constant, we're constantly seeing something along the way. And that's really, really neat and really, really fun and going to make a very big difference.
Anthony Bartlett, if people want to find out or maybe want to reach out to you about some of the things they heard today, maybe they're a new transplant themselves and they want to learn about some of those places you've shared, just like you did when I moved into the area, how can they find you?
Sure. The easiest way is probably just through the website. It's www.stltransplants.com. Mm-hmm. We are 100% employer focused at the moment right now. Mm-hmm. So if you have a company or you're a hospital or institution and they need some consulting, they need some help with candidates or new hires, we can assist there. And then if you're just a new person who's just moved to St. Louis, whether you're married to St. Louis and are from St. Louis, just reach out on the website, give us a call, and we have all kinds of things where they can host or meet people or do something.
A big thank you to Anthony Bartlett, who joined us today on KMOX Profiles. That website, he is stltransplants.com, if you wanted to check out some of the things that he's doing in the city. If you wanted to check out this profile, just go online to KMOX.com and click on the Profile Podcast. You can listen to it in its entirety.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.